Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go live in Los Angeles. On a Friday, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. So the big story today is Henry Abbott is reporting. Now there's multiple people reporting that Damian Lillard is interested in the Knicks. Damian Lillard is going to request a trade. Now, What always happens in situations like this immediately is everybody denies it. All his teammates are out. Nurkic is out. No, he's my buddy. This is nonsense. You know, nothing happens till it happens. Like my entire life, there's always a story behind the story. The first book I wrote, You Heard Me. That was the theme of my book. There's always a story behind the story. You want to be BS'd or you want the truth? Damian's not happy. I know that. Okay, Dame's not happy. Aaron Rodgers isn't happy. When Dame's DMing me and he's interested in my opinion on something, which he's not very often, he's testing the waters. He's unhappy. He's been here 9 years. And remember, Dame's got the money box checked. He got his money. And Dame's got the respect box checked. He's a Hall of Famer and everybody loves him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the win box checked. He wants to win games. Okay, fans, so don't pretend you can relate to him. Money's $100 million plus net worth. Respect, first bout Hall of Famer, loved. He's got music, he got shoes. He doesn't have any wins. He wants wins. You know, get him in Portland. This team is not a championship team. Hell, you couldn't beat Denver without Jamal Murray. Golden State's rebooting. LeBron and AD are healthy. So he wants wins. Well, Chauncey Billups doesn't mean anything. Chauncey Billups has not taken this roster to the title. So it's all about checking boxes that we've seen this time and time again. You know, Kevin Durant, the money box, it's checked, it's done. The titles box for Kevin Durant, okay, that was checked. He wanted Brooklyn to him was like, I just want to be my own guy. Like, it's all about life checking boxes, right? You as a parent check boxes. Okay, we got the 401k. My wife and I, we won't be on the street. Okay, our kids' college is paid for. Check. We're all checking boxes in life. Dame's gotten to the point now where the only box that is unchecked is winning and playing in the finals. You put him on Philadelphia with Joel Embiid, and that team's getting to the finals. If you had Joel Embiid, Dame Lillard, and Tobias Harris, that team's making the finals in the East. Maybe not in the West, but in the East. So, you know, everybody's going to deny it. And by the way, Dame is in the middle of, you know, working out for the Olympics. The Olympics start July 23rd, opening ceremonies. Basketball is like July 25th. So remember this. Because Dame will be asked about this today, tomorrow, the next day. Does Dame want to disrupt the Olympic experience with this story? No. I mean, the last thing Dame wants to do is the whole Olympics is about Damian Lillard going to basketball teams. Remember years ago, the baseball all-star, it was the baseball postseason, and A-Rod was rumored to be getting traded. And A-Rod's yapping about getting traded during the World Series. And at the time, I think it was Bud Selig's like, shut up, stop it. We're in the middle of a World Series. I don't want A-Rod trade talk, you know, leading all the shows. Commissioners don't like that. So USA Basketball, Dame Smart, he doesn't want this story to take over the Olympic experience. This team's already got enough issues. They just signed JaVale McGee as their rim protector. They got enough issues. Bradley Beal can't play Kevin Love. So I'm not going to listen to Blazer players or local media in Portland who's rooting for him to stay. And I don't even think Dame wants to address this. Now, he wants to get through the Olympics. And then the minute the Olympics are over, boom, let's talk about it. So, and he's in no hurry, right? Like, he's going to have a million suitors. Everybody in the league wants Dame. I mean, listen, Golden State has Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, and they want Dame. They have the best backcourt in league history, and they want him. I mean, that's like Kansas City saying, you know what? We want another quarterback. We know we've got Mahomes. We want another one. So everybody in the league wants Damian Lillard. Everybody in the world wants Damian Lillard. The Warriors have the best backcourt in league history. Second is probably Gail Goodrich and Jerry West in the 70s. The Warriors have the best backcourt at least in the last 15, 20 years, and they want him. So this is one of these things where Dame is probably not going to want to get into it. He doesn't want to blow up the Olympic experience for his teammates. He's not a selfish guy like that. He's not a media hog like that. Dame's got great self-awareness. Like a lot of these pro athletes don't. Dame's got self-awareness. He didn't want this story to get out there. And that's all we talk about. We'd be in the middle of the Olympics and nobody would care. He didn't want to do that. And so you always want to get the story behind the story. And the story behind the story is Dame has one box in his career that's unchecked. Money, done. Respect, done. Hall of Fame, done. Beloved in his city, done. Sells merch, done. Shoe deal, done. Music, done. It's all done. I want to win games. There's a reason we don't talk about Alex English. Great player. Didn't win enough games. There's a reason we talk about Scottie Pippen. He won a bunch of games. You know, that matters. You want to be, you know, 30, 40 years from now, Dame, it's not ego. It's like, you know, he wants to be in conversations. Everybody does.
It's almost as if that's the point.
I mean, it's
play and win games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's sports. It's not, all players want money, but, you know, does Dame feel like a guy to you that really, at this point in his career, I need a Bentley? No, what he needs is a Kawhi Leonard. What he needs is a Luka. What he wants is an Embiid. He doesn't care about the Bentleys. That's not going to drive Damian Lillard. When you get to be as good as Steph Curry and Dame Lillard, it's not about the bling and the money and the no. It is about he is in a unique group of players in the history of the game. He's in a tiny little. I mean, how many guys have played in the NBA? I mean, 5,000. He's in the top 70, 60. I mean, I don't have a list with me, but Dame's one of the 50 best NBA players I've ever seen. Seriously. I don't know where he is on that list, but he's somewhere on it. He wants to win games. Because you know who did? Kareem and Magic and Russell and Kobe and Shaq and Steph and KD. All the other guys got rings. You know, like Barkley's the one. We even talk about Barkley a lot because he's such an exception. How was Barkley that good and didn't get any rings? It's like Dan Marino. We don't talk about Dan Marino. We talk about Elway. We talk about Montana. We don't talk about Marino. So Dame, does he want to be Marino? No. You know, he wants to be a guy that we talk about. We talk about Dirk Nowitzki more than we talk about Dan Marino. I mean, really. And Dan's maybe the best thrower of the football ever. Just a pure thrower of the football. Dan Marino could be it. All right. Antoine Walker, 12 years in the NBA, 3-time All-Star, and a ring with the Miami Heat. Okay, I'm just going crazy on this Dame Lillard stuff, Antoine. You're just hearing me blab, blab, blab. But I do think when you get to be a D-Wade, when you're a great player and you got your money, I mean, you tell me, you rings, you want to win games now, right?
Well, I think for Dame, I think you hit it on the head. For him, he's accomplished everything he can accomplish on the individual scale. And I'm a firm believer. The first things first, Colin, is to get all the money you can get as a pro. And he's done that. He's been very generous. He's been very loyal to Portland. Hasn't tested the market, and they've obviously compensated him well. And he has 3 years left on his deal. I'm perfectly fine for him going somewhere else and play. But the only problem I got, he has to make sure he makes a James Harden type of move, where he goes to play with other superstars and really give himself a chance to win a title. If you just want to get traded, like the Knicks, to me, is a terrible move. If you want to go to the Knicks. Because all you're doing is doing the same thing you're doing now. You're going to go score 30 points a night. We're going to have some unbelievable performances. And you're going to lose. So if you're not able to make a move to be a championship contender, then you stay in Portland and you continue to grind it out. It's not worth it if you're not going to a championship caliber team.
Let me throw this at you. Because I think there's going to be a bunch of denials on this story. And as I said, I don't think Dame wants to blow up the Olympic team and hog all the headlines. And he doesn't want to do any of that stuff. So I would imagine he would downplay this terribly immediately and just not, because the glare would just, nobody would talk Olympics and nobody would care. So let me throw this out at you. If you're Portland, you're the GM Antoine of Portland. I said, one of the reasons that D. Wade is a franchise player was not just because he was great. He had the personality of it. He's an alpha. He'll talk to the media. Good days, bad days. You can coach D. Wade. There's a personality aspect to being a great player and a franchise guy. Mm-hmm. Duncan, you could yell at him. In the end, he took pay cuts. He was coachable. He didn't always have to have the last shot. I mean, D. Wade let Shaq and LeBron take the team over at times, and he was mature enough to do it. So here's my worry. Philadelphia has a lot of pieces. Ben Simmons, Thibault, draft picks, Curry. But if I'm Portland and you run Portland, Ben Simmons is indifferent. He doesn't get along with a lot of guys. If you were Portland and Philadelphia gave you the best offer, but it included Simmons as your franchise guy, would you make it?
It's a tough one because until I can see him turn the corner and start shooting the basketball, I still got my questions about him. I love him as a player, terrific talent, a point forward, very unique player. He can defend multiple positions. But I'm a little nervous that he doesn't shoot the basketball. It's very concerning. He has to do it. I don't want to see any summer workout videos of him shooting. I need to see a full season. So before I just give up Dame Lillard and put my faith in Ben Simmons, he has to show me that he's willing to shoot the basketball. Remember, I didn't say make shots. I said shoot the basketball. So those are things that I would worry about with Ben until he's able to get over that hump. I can't make a move for him right now. As great of a talent he is, and I love him to death. I love big men wings that can handle the basketball. I think they'd be great. So it just depends on whether or not Ben Simmons gets over this phobia of shooting the ball.
All right, got to ask you about the finals. Game 5 tomorrow in Phoenix. Chris Paul looked worn down. They put Drew Holiday on him, and his production and his turnovers, everything's changed. He's now turning the ball over a lot. He wasn't before. He looks tired. His efficiency has gone down. Do you believe today Milwaukee has seized control of the finals?
Well, I have Milwaukee in 7. I don't think they've seized it because I believe in Chris Paul will bounce back and get back to playing the basketball that we've seen throughout the playoffs. But Milwaukee has multiple defenders they can throw at him on top of one of the best defenders in Holiday. So I'm not really concerned with the turnovers. I'm concerned with the turnovers at the end of the game. I think that's more important because with the Phoenix Suns, they rely so heavily on Chris Paul making right decisions and getting the ball to the right person late. Whether that's him taking the shot, whether that's getting the ball to Devin Booker, hitting Aiden on a screen and roll, they need Chris Paul to be flawless down the stretch. And we can't have him turn the basketball over. So that's what I'm more concerned with. Can he get back to making the right decisions late in games? Because they need him to play 35, 40 minutes a night, and Milwaukee does have enough defenders to throw at him.
You know, it's interesting, Antoine. In the history of the league, veterans beat kids in big games. Phoenix is young, except for Crowder and Chris Paul, and Milwaukee's got a Brook Lopez and a Bobby Portis and a Drew Holiday. It's just nothing but veterans. We think Giannis is young. I think this is his 8th year in the league. If it came down to a game 7, and I think to myself, man, it would be hard to go against Milwaukee even in Phoenix. They're like adults. They've been in those NBA weight rooms for 7, 8, 9 years. Do you feel like remember when Phoenix had that closeout game at home against the Clippers, how tight they were? They were really bad. Would you trust the Suns in a game 7 because of their youth?
No. I mean, we're sitting right now. Have you heard Bridges' name lately, the last couple games?
Yeah.
We haven't heard from him. He played great the first couple games. He's been unheard of. Devin Booker has been great, comes 10 and 40, but you don't know which Devin Booker you're going to get. That could play a part. Going into a game 7, being that this is their first time. And hell, it's Chris Paul's first time in the NBA Finals. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. And not saying Milwaukee has all this ton of experience, but sometimes we got veteran guys who was really gutty. You know, I think P.J. Tucker, who doesn't show up in the stat sheet, I think he's having a great series. He's disruptive defensively. He's made a few shots here and there. I think they've got good production out of Jeff T. These are guys that are veterans that have been in the league for a long time. You know, Bobby Portis has gave them a lot of energy. So I just think you rely on the veterans if it gets to a game 7 that's going to pull it out. I just that's what it comes down to. And the young guys sometimes do not respond the way you would like them to respond. And we've seen that, and you saw that in Milwaukee.
Yeah. You know, I will say this. I was kind of down on, you know, I've said this, I don't think Giannis is a face of the league guy, but I will say, I love the fact that everybody counts when he's at the free throw line, and he doesn't care. You know, Ben Simmons was afraid to shoot. There's something about Giannis putting his head down and saying, I don't care. I'll go to the free throw line. As a former athlete, like, do you respect that?
I respect the fact that he's put the work in. You can tell he's put the work in. His mechanics are not great. You know, some things as me as a player, and you can tell that he needs to work on his elbow and some other stuff with his shooting. But the fact that he stays consistent to what he works on every day, and he goes to the free throw line believing he's going to make them. And that's what makes him special. Not on top of that, I have a high level of respect for him from the injury that he's came back from and gave us one of the most, he's given us one of the most amazing finals. So I'm a huge Giannis fan. He has all the respect in the world for me. But I love the fact that he keeps grinding away and he hasn't shied away. He takes some bad shots sometimes, but he continues to attack the basket and doesn't mind going to the free throw line, even though he's not a great free throw shooter.
Antoine Walker on a Friday, the all-star, the champion. Great seeing you, my man. Have a great weekend in Chicago.
All right, you too.
All right, game 5 tomorrow in Phoenix. I will be glued to it. Got nervous watching game 4 down the stretch.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight, the long-anticipated wait is over. The fans return to SmackDown on Fox. The superstars of WWE will finally get a chance to hear the roar of the crowds. For the first time in a year and a half, live from Toyota Center in Houston, it's Friday Night SmackDown, 8 Eastern on Fox.
You know, I am going to Vegas.
Yeah?
In late August for a WWE event.
That's fun.
There are reports that I will interview Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Reports? Sources say?
On my phone. Does that count as a report?
I think so.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
There's a lot going on today.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, Dame has been great for our show.
Dame, we've got Rodgers. We haven't even talked about the Brady story yet.
We'll get to that
in a second. So college athletes are now able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness while maintaining their eligibility, which was a long time coming.
Yeah.
And NCAA President Mark Emmert discussed the future of college athletics following this policy change, and he thinks it's time for the NCAA to have a smaller governing role. He said it forces us to think about what constraints should be put in place on college athletes, and it should be the bare minimum. I think this is a really, really propitious, I think I'm saying that right, moment to sit back and look at a lot of the core assumptions and say, if we're going to build college sports again in 2020 instead of 1920, what would that look like? What will we change? This is the right time.
Propitious, I think, is what
propitious.
It is.
Propitious.
Yeah.
Propitious.
Well, what he's basically saying is we're not necessarily needed nearly as much. And I think J.A. Adonde came on earlier and said, listen, here's where the NCAA is great, by the way, and needed. The men's and women's basketball tournaments.
Yep.
It pays for everything. The money they make on that pays for everything. And I have covered that. I've been in those hotels. They're great at it. And it really is a wonderful experience for the players, for the coaches. But maybe they should just get out of the policing and managing, and they don't do a very good job at it anyway.
Terrible job is what I would say, and it's because that's not what they're supposed to do. Governing bodies have procedures in place and protocols and things like, I don't know, juries and judges and lawyers and things like that, things that make the entire system in theory work. When you just have a governing body that's just making decisions and rules and mostly being reactionary to things, as you mentioned with J.A. Adonde, it's usually just reacting to a story that the media has reported.
Yeah.
I mean, I can think of so many situations, but I mean, just the Miami situation was an utter disaster. Like, you had all of these sanctions on the school because of a booster, and then you messed up the investigation, and then the sanctions never even came down. So you just had this cloud of darkness over the school and couldn't get recruits for years, and then nothing even happened.
And then at one time, the NCAA had an athletic director or somebody connected to the University of Miami giving basically USC the death penalty for Reggie Bush, but then giving Miami in that story a slap on the wrist. And I know people out west were like, time out.
Yeah.
You can't have somebody from the University of Miami on the board making up the stipulations and rules.
Right. No, it's chaos.
You get a pass and we get the death penalty, essentially. So, yeah, I think it, to your point, I think at least give credit to Mark Emmert, who's highly critical or highly criticized, is that I do think their role now will be raising a lot of money in the tournaments, and they probably have to kind of just bow out of the policing role.
I mean, I don't think that they should completely lift their hands off of any kind of, not policing, but, you know, make sure that there's protocols in place to keep kids safe. Make sure things are equal. Make sure, you know, that coaches aren't taking advantage of, you know, how many practices and things, you know, things like that. Things that the rules are in place for. The policing part of it I never liked because, to your point, there is no system to come up with a fair and reasonable result. Like, it's just not, that's not what you guys do. But I also think something interesting that he said when he was talking about it is college should be looked at as a launching pad for your career. For a long time, people who were resistant to college athletes being paid, which NIL does not mean they're being paid by the schools. That's not, just please read, like it's not what's happening. They're just allowed to make money from advertisers and businesses and things like that off of their name, image, and likeness. So for a long time, people would push back, like, well, they're getting a free education and there's, you know, they shouldn't be involved in all these other things. Like all the other student body, every other student that is there that is not a college athlete is permitted to do these things.
Right.
Why would the athletes not be allowed to do this? It doesn't make any sense. College is meant to prepare you for the next level of your life. Why can't it launch you now? Why can't you launch businesses now? Why can't you make money now?
Well, there's always been this kind of belief that, oh my God, you have to have some level of control, or these seedy boosters who have no life will just buy players. And my takeaway is that's what they're doing now.
Right.
Like if UCLA basketball is the greatest dynasty in the history of college basketball, John Wooden, squeaky clean John Wooden, go read about the program. They had a go-to booster who paid for everybody. So, and it's nothing against UCLA. Like, it's documented. It's well, everybody understands.
People like to romanticize things. Anyone who's actually in the building of any building, this is not just UCLA, of any building, everybody knows what they do and who to go to and who to talk to. And if you need something, where you go, everybody knows. I mean, there's a story from every campus.
Listen, there's an understanding in the South. You pay the football players through the church. That is a system that is, why do I know it and I've never lived there? It is a system that is understood in recruiting that many players are paid through a local church, through a mom or a dad. It's like, we got to just...
Stop clutching your pearls. They're going to be fine. They should be allowed to launch their careers. And I like that the NCAA is taking this approach to it. So Damian Lillard is reportedly planning on requesting a trade from the Trailblazers. There's been a lot of stories about this coming out over the past. We've been talking about this really since they were eliminated, about his unhappiness with the organization and what's going to happen with him. He also spoke with Chris Haynes about the state of the Blazers, saying everyone in the organization, including himself, needs to look in the mirror because what they've been doing is not working. He told Chris Haynes he will address this report after Team USA practice today. He is expected to speak around 3:30 p.m. Eastern, so we may get somewhat of an answer to this report, or at least his response to what he's going to do moving forward, because I agree with you. I don't think he wants this to be the story through the Olympics, which is already
It's already a story and he's not talking.
Exactly. But also the Team USA situation is a bit of a disaster right now. So I don't think he wants to add to the stress of that by, you know, taking this moment to announce that he wants to trade from the Blazers, because it will completely overshadow whatever Team USA is doing. Because, you know, let's be honest, we're going to care more about what's happening with him and where he will end up. Speaking of, Keldon Johnson and JaVale McGee will replace Bradley Beal and Kevin Love on Team USA's roster for the Olympics. So we have an answer on those slots, but we'll find out more from Damian Lillard today.
If I was Dame, you know what I would do, Joy? Today at the press conference, I'd be like, listen, I know you guys have a job to do, but I'm not going to discuss this until the Olympics are over, out of respect for USA basketball and my teammates. I got no comment. I'm not going to answer those questions. I know you got a job to do. You can ask it. I'm just going to give you the same answer. Until the Olympics are over, I am not discussing this trade.
And that's what I think he will do.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't gain anything by saying it's absolutely not true. Because if he does decide afterwards that he wants a trade, that's going to put the Blazers fans through a whole roller coaster that's unnecessary. So the best thing to do is just say no comment. I'll talk about this either way on the other side of the Olympics.
It's great for the Portland media. They'll have something to talk about for a month. I mean, listen, I've been in that media. Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah. I mean, you work there, so you could say that.
It's great for local media. You can talk about all you want.
So we all know that Tom Brady had surgery on his left knee earlier this offseason, but we're not getting more details about just how bad his injury was. He reportedly played the entire 2020 season with a fully torn MCL.
I cannot believe he did not wear a cape during the season. He is Superman. He's literally Superman. He didn't miss a practice with a torn MCL.
It's really remarkable. He said he suffered the injury during his last season in New England and just gradually got worse in Tampa leading up to the procedure in February. It's the same knee that he injured in the 2008 season,
which
is essentially his only major injury. So it's remarkable that he played this entire season with that and had the season that he did. He's just built different. For all this talk about how he's not an elite athlete. And
I always said John Lynch, who's now the general manager of the 49ers, John Lynch was the hardest hitting safety I've ever seen. John Lynch told me I never got a concussion. I'm like, what do you mean? Troy Aikman, who never tackled anybody, he got tackled, had many, so did Steve Young. John Lynch often led with his head, no concussions. That's what John claims, and why would I not believe him? The point being, to your point, is some guys, Eli Manning, never got hurt, ever.
He never missed the game due to injury.
Some guys just are built to last. They just are.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is genetics and then just luck, and that's just the way that it goes. Like, you get breaks or you don't. It's just crazy that he was injured and played the entire season through it.
Eli Manning did not have a lot of great O-lines. Eli Manning got popped a lot, never missed a start. Like that, and by the way.
Yeah, it's why I defend Eli Manning so much. But let's talk about he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm like, the dude never missed a game due to injury at the quarterback
position.
And beat Brady
in the NFL. Twice in the Super Bowl. That's like, a Hall of Famer.
Come on. The only reason he didn't start was because they pulled that nonsense, taking him out of the starting lineup because he wasn't playing well. Ridiculous.
Crazy. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
You know, it is interesting, the Eli Manning Hall of Fame stuff, is that what do you want Hall of Fames to be? To me, Hall of Fame means great. I beat Tom Brady and Belichick twice in the Super Bowl. Head-to-head. As an underdog both times. I don't even care. I mean, seriously. And because he played so long, he's got every Giant record at quarterback. He's got, he holds all the team records. But it's funny when you get into this, Eli's not a Hall of Famer. And I understand the arguments, but if Hall of Fame's about great, and I beat Michael Jordan twice in the finals, I became the MVP of the game against Michael Jordan twice, my regular seasons are not as important. Like, there's different ways to get in the Hall of Fame. Some guys compile stats.
Yeah.
And then some guys, Sandy Koufax did not pitch for a lot of years. Sandy Koufax was unhittable for about 3 years. He was great for seven, unhittable for three. That's enough. That's a Hall of Famer. You don't care about his regular seasons. Like, you'd go to the postseason, you could not hit him. The greatest hitters couldn't hit him. And that's why I always, with Hall of Fames, it's always funny when we go back and forth. Was the player great? Period.
I think the Hall of Fame is some percentage museum, right? Like, it's a place that fans go to see the greatest and to learn the history of the sport. So it's some percent museum, which I think should be considered, which is why I always say, like, can you tell the story of the greatest moments of the NFL without this player?
No, you cannot tell the story of the NFL without Eli Manning. You cannot.
People would argue that there's, like, moments that players have had, like, well, you can't tell without this player. Like, he contributed. He was the quarterback. He was the most important position on the field for two of the Super Bowls during the era of the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. That matters. And he never missed a start due to injury.
Yeah.
He only missed a start because they benched him for Geno Smith in week 13.
Yeah, agree with all that. All right. Mario Chalmers, former member of the Miami Heat, is going to be joining us next hour. Jason McIntyre, 2 and a Friday. More on Dame. According to a report by Henry Abbott and True Hoop, he will be requesting a trade in due time soon. I don't know how soon it would be because I do not think he's going to do it over the next month with the Olympics. So I'm not sure if Henry Abbott is going to have to retract something, but I don't think Dame is going to come out today and talk and say, I'm requesting a trade. I don't foresee that. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card in the first year automatically and with no limit. Get used to hearing yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jersey Mike's has their new grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss sub. It's delicious. Try it. Fresh ingredients. Make it. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above with their authentic Jersey bread and their freshly sliced meats, tomatoes. All right. By the way, the Knicks are getting a lot of play on the Dame Lillard trade talk. I don't get that at all. I don't know what you'd have. The Knicks would have to, they don't have much. Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, anything of value the Knicks have, you'd have to give to get Dame. Well, then he'd be like an expensive chandelier in the middle of a castle. There'd be no other furniture. You know, that's what Melo did when he went from Denver to the Knicks. Anything the Knicks had, which wasn't much, Denver got it, and then Melo goes there and has nothing to work with. That's stay in Portland. That doesn't make any sense at all. Now I do get Philadelphia. You know, I get that. Embiid, Dame, Tobias Harris, they'll win the East. But everybody, you know, Golden State can offer something. Philly can offer something. You know, the Clippers, they can all offer different things. I'll talk about that topic next hour. But there's a lot of different things here in play. But I just saw FanDuel had the Knicks as one of the top candidates, and they're usually right on stuff. I don't get it. Unless Dame just wants to go to New York, which I think he wants to win. I don't think he's...
There is some talk of it out there. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction to this season.
You know, it's one of those things you keep hearing things over and over in your life, and it never happens. And so you just give up on it. Like, I'll give you an example. Flying cars. My whole life since Jetsons. I mean, cars going to be flying all over. Flying cars. My late mother couldn't drive to the grocery store without having her blinker on the whole time, okay? If you have a seatbelt out of the right side of the car, okay? My mom's going to be flying a car. She couldn't drive to the store.
I mean, it would be nice if they could, you know, figure that out, how to make the flying cars.
Do you think I'm going to ever be driving to work? Whoa, hey, you got a Kia flying right past me up there. It's not going to happen. Now, there may be some military installment or some, you know, Elon Musk creates it and like 9 people in the world have
it. Well, I mean, like if you could just have the flying cars go on top of the cars that are on the ground, like that could work, no? You can't just have flying cars buzzing around town.
I want a Range Rover on top of my car as I drive to work.
Seems like if there's a malfunction, it could be problematic. This is why I'm not a scientist.
So the whole point is, when you hear something for 40 years and it doesn't happen, I'm done. Okay, I'm done hearing about everybody's going to go sign with the Knicks. I've got 30 years of, oh, LeBron's going to go there.
I think they have become more of a destination this year.
It's a nice story, but James Dolan still owns them, doesn't he?
Yes. Okay. And to your point, what would you have to give up?
The whole team.
To get Damian Lillard.
Like
that defeats the purpose of going there. You have to go to a team that has the ability to sacrifice major assets to make it worth it for Portland.
Yeah, I mean, if you were Tom Brady and you got traded to Tampa instead of going to Tampa, but the Patriots got Mike Evans and Shaq Barrett, and, you know, Ronald Jones, the running back, and Devontae David, well, it's not as attractive. What makes it attractive is I can go there and supplement all these good young players.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tom Brady, there's a new report that he had a fully torn MCL and played the entire season and did not miss a practice. He should have worn a cape last year. But what is interesting about Brady is that, and I'm sure all of you have thought of this, so it's not some revelation here, but now he's going to be healthier. Now he gets a preseason. Now he knows the system. Now he knows the coaches, and now he knows the teammates. All these other Super Bowl-level teams, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland, Rams, Seattle, KC, San Francisco, they're going to have a battle in their own division. They'll probably win the division in most cases, but they'll have a battle. Not Tampa. New Orleans, rebuilding. Carolina, rebuilding. Atlanta, rebuilding. Atlanta's got an, and it's a quarterback league, right? New Orleans doesn't know who their quarterback is. We don't know if Sam Darnold's any good in Carolina. And Matt Ryan, generally, with a new staff, takes about a year to get up and running. So the NFL regular season concludes January 9th. I think you're looking at a Tampa team that could have the playoffs wrapped up December 9th. Huge advantage. I can rest starters. I can bury a playbook. This happens. This happens in the NBA when you got a one or a two seed wrapped up. Doc Rivers used to do this when he was with the Celtics, and he just buried the playbook. We're just going to go play. And man, our talent will win most of the game. We're going to bury the playbook. We're not going to use any of our best inbound play. We're going to make you go back and figure out what we're going to do. You bury the playbook. No tricks. Vanilla. They're good enough to win most of those games. You rest your starters. That is a huge advantage. Instead of fighting, now we have another game in the season, fighting till week 17. And I got to tell you something. Timing is really important. Now, I've said this before. I'm not good at doing stuff. I am good at quitting stuff. I used to have 9 Greek yogurts a day, and then the doctor said, stop it, and I haven't had one since. Outside of coffee, I could quit anything. I'm a good quitter. I'm not a good doer. You got floss 3 times a day. My teeth don't fall out. I can't do that. I'm not a good doer. You know, doctors say do this, and a dentist says does this, and my wife says do. I'm not a good doer. One of the only things I think I do really well, I exit well. Every company, I've left 4 different companies. They all were kind of a mess after I left. It wasn't because I left. It was my timing was good. I have good timing. I'm not always good entering places. I'm great leaving places. I tell the story years ago. I was at a party in Las Vegas in my 20s. True story. I don't know if I've ever told this on the air. True story. There was a party in Las Vegas I went to, and it was sketchy. There were a lot of guys with handlebar mustaches and velour shirts, and I just got a bad feeling about this party. I was a sportscaster in Las Vegas. People were a little. I leave the party the next day in the paper, cocaine bust. Same party. I would have been like front page of the paper. And I was just like, there were rooms that were closed off. And I just was like, I got to exit this party. Huge. So Brady's timing is great. And you know Brady thought about this. So Brady, what do we know about the NFL? Quarterbacks, you have a great quarterback and a great coach, you are a problem. Mahomes and Andy Reid, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, AA. In some instances, A+, A+. All young, all athletic. I'm not even counting Justin Herbert. I'm not counting Baker Mayfield. We know Herbert's great. Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year. I'm not even counting those guys. The top of the AFC is going to be no fun. No fun. Brady's like, bye. I'm going to go to the NFC. Drew Brees retired. Matt Stafford at the time, Lions. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, with his tantrum, his tizzy. One of the only viable contenders to beat them. They're now a mess. You got a lot. Dak, does he have the right coach? Does he have a good enough defense? Dak's coming off an injury. There's a lot of Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, do we know? Kyler Murray's great, but is his coach? I mean, there's really only one guy there. One guy, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll. That's it. That's the one you worry about. That's the one you think, Russell's great, Pete's great, they got playmakers. DK Metcalf, that's the one you look at. And you think, okay, we need home field advantage, but Seattle is in a brutal division. So Seattle's going to lose games. Seattle will not play. They will not host Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in the playoff. It'll be in Tampa. It'll be the furthest trip that Seattle could make in the NFC. The furthest trip would be Tampa, and that's where they'll go. It will not be in Seattle. Seattle's division's too tough, and Tampa's a mess. Everybody's rebuilding. Brady's timing, this is something no athlete would ever admit this, because it would look like the athlete is saying, I want an easier route. But as you get older as an athlete, don't you think about that stuff? Like, it's literally, he goes into a division, everybody's rebuilding, the top of the AFC is just great coach with great quarterback. It's Mahomes, it's Reed, it's Harbaugh, it's Lamar, it's McDermott, it's Josh Allen. I'm not even counting Baker and his coach of the year. I'm not even counting Justin Herbert and his coach. Those guys are great. We don't know what's going to happen to Deshaun Watson. I mean, maybe he lands on a good team, but I don't know. There's something about Tom just, I mean, Belichick's the best coach ever, right? They're a mess. He knew there wasn't anybody out there on the market they can get. I'm it. Bill's going to get stuck with, you know, kind of a second level guy.
It's a little intuition.
Just
you know, you trusted your intuition in that spot.
I did.
Kept you out of prison.
I remember calling somebody, and I'm like, it was a woman. I'm like, that's it. She's like, yeah. So, all right.
Uncle, I just love imagining you in these situations.
I knew it. Handlebar mustaches, velour shirts. Get out.